This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. There are political discussions to be had about the GOP tax bill, which you will have heard and read of elsewhere. There are economic discussions to be had on the bill as well. Sometimes, to be honest, slightly weedy and wonky economic discussions to be had, which is where Kevin Hassett comes in. He is the chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's great to be here.
How you feeling on day two of this thing now that some of the knives are out from some of the groups who aren't wild about it?
Yeah, I guess that one of the things about the swamp is that when you walk in there, then all of a sudden the swamp creatures start coming out. And in tax reform, what happens is that there are all these deductions and special interest giveaways that have been built into the code over time. And if you eliminate them in order to have a broader base so that you can lower rates, then all of the swamp creatures have this picture in their mind that, well, actually, this bill's pretty good, but it'd even be better if my narrow thing could stay in it. And then they start fighting for that. And I think we're starting to see that kind of thing happen.
Yeah, but hang on, because we're talking about the National Association of Home Builders. We're talking about the National Federation of Independent Businesses. I mean, call them what you will, but they're not swamp creatures, right? They're legitimate interest groups.
They're legitimate interest groups, but I think that their analysis is just incorrect. If you look at the very narrow provisions that they're worried about, then if you look in isolation, then maybe they have a point. But if you take the plan as a whole, then they certainly don't.
All right. Well, let me ask you the big picture question before we get to the corporate stuff, which is, I know, of maximum importance to the GOP on the Hill and also to the president. Here we sit, as you know, with an economy very near full employment. It is growing. Things are generally on the upswing. Why do we need a tax cut right now?
Well, the fact is that profit growth has been fantastic. Over the last 8 years, it's been about 11% per year, but wage growth has been virtually non-existent. And the reason is that normally businesses in the past, when they started to do well, then they would reward their workers. But now there's a disconnect because the profits are offshore.
Can you help folks understand how a corporate tax cut is going to get higher wages for American workers? I mean, you came out a number of weeks ago with that report from the CEA saying it's going to be $4,000. Help me understand how that's going to happen.
Sure. Yeah. And so what happens is that right now, if I am a U.S. multinational and I locate income in the U.S., then the combined tax rate, counting state and local, is about 40%. If I locate my income in Ireland, then it's about 12.5%. And so 12.5% is a much lower tax than 40%. And so naturally, then the multinational is going to want to locate the money in Ireland. But as a practical matter, the way it does that is that it sets up a factory in Ireland. And the thing that it used to make here to sell here, it makes in Ireland to sell here. And it buys a lot, the U.S. firm, before it sells it to you, buys a lot of the stuff at a very inflated price so that the subsidiary in Ireland gets a lot of profit and the company here doesn't post any profit. And that high price shows up, by the way, as a big increase in imports. But again, how does it transfer to wages? Let's go back to the beginning. The way the process starts is the company locates a factory over there instead of here. So that increases the demand for workers over there, reduces the demand for workers over here. That increases the wages over there and doesn't have the increase effect or the positive effect on wages here because the demand isn't going up here.
Is what you're saying that workers bear a disproportionate share of corporate tax in this country?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, this is not just theory or anything. That in the report we released last Friday, we listed a whole number of studies. One that's just about to be coming out in the American Economic Review that shows that workers' wages respond enormously to corporate taxes. But this is not a new idea. If you go back to David Ricardo way back in the day, hundreds of years ago, he said that, well, if you have a tax on a mobile factor, like, capital, then the mobile factor will move. It's kind of tautological. And the immobile factors will end up bearing the tax. And so in our world today, capital is very, very mobile, but workers are not. And so when you try to tax capital, it moves away and the workers end up holding the bag.
Yeah. Without getting into a he said argument over the economics of this, because you would win. But there are studies that show the the opposite of what you say. And let me just give you the anecdotal question here. I've talked to some CEOs in the last 10 days and they say, we're not going to give people a $4,000 raise. What is that?
First, I disagree that there are people that show the opposite of what I say in the sense that that, you know, as a practical matter, that means that you would take my answer and multiply it by -1, right? What's really happening is that there's a continuum of results between workers bear none of the corporate tax to workers bear, actually, there's some papers that say more than 100%.
Right. But let's, and
I'm kind of in the middle there, but there's some people that are below me.
Let's take the question in the spirit with which it's intended, right? I mean, there are people who disagree with you, but anecdotally, I'm telling you that corporate CEOs are saying to me.
Can I respond, please?
Of course.
But I'm characterizing the disagreement, though, as being different from the opposite of what I say. So that the people who believe the low end of the literature say that folks will get about $1,000 or $900 pay hike because of this bill. I think that a conservative estimate is 4,000. There are other papers in the literature that say it's a lot more than that, but the range is all positive. And $1,000 is a heck of a lot of money to ordinary people. So even if you take the low end, then I think that you should vote for this bill.
Even though there are corporate CEOs out there who are telling me, we have other things we need to do with that money.
Well, what's going to happen to the CEO who thinks that nothing's going to happen is that a plant is going to locate here that was about to locate in Ireland, and that competitor is going to try to hire a bunch of workers, and then the employer that's not doing anything is going to have to pay his workers more or lose them to the competition. You know, the best way to get a pay raise is to get an outside offer, and this tax policy will give us a whole bunch of new outside offers. That's where the wage effect's coming from.
Let me turn to another thing on this bill. It is, as you know, about $1.5 trillion worth of deficit finance tax cuts. Why is that okay for a Republican Party that's been so strictly anti-deficit and anti-debt for so long?
Well, it's $1.5 trillion cost on a static basis. It sounds like a huge amount of money, but if you divide that by 10 and consider that at the end of the 10-year period, that GDP is about $20 trillion, then the deficit reduction is very small on a static basis. And it doesn't take much growth at all to close the gap on that.
Yeah, but you're banking on a whole lot of economic growth, which this economy has a really hard time doing in the last 10 years.
Right. You're exactly right, 100%, that the economy has not done a good job of growing over the last 10 years. I think it's the view of the Trump administration that one of the reasons we underperformed is that we have the highest corporate tax on earth, and we had a huge increase in regulation, big increases in marginal tax rates, all things that in every economic model I've ever seen slow growth. And so we can disagree about how much growth you get if you reverse those big negatives, but it's certainly going to move growth in a positive direction.
Am I also right, though, that you're banking on growth to help you finance these tax cuts?
Oh, it's absolutely true that the $1.5 trillion 10-year score is a kind of worst case scenario that if you get no growth out of this, then you're going to see a big increase in the deficit. But I think that the academic literature suggests that we should be highly confident that we could get a good growth dividend out of this proposal.
Kevin Hassett, the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors at the White House. Mr. Hassett, thanks a lot for your time, sir.
Oh, it's great to be here again.